Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives. Today, we start with the good, with news that should not be shocking, but is very much welcome nonetheless. While we still wait for the FBI and potentially the Justice Department to conclude its investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of the private email protection or lack of protection of classified and top secret information, we do have at least one government agency not very happy with how Hillary Clinton handled her emails, and it's the State Department. That would be the department she led for 4 years during the first half of the Obama administration. According to the Politico, it says the State Department Inspector General concluded that Hillary Clinton did not comply with the agency's policies on records, according to a report released to lawmakers on Wednesday that also revealed that Clinton and her top aides chose not to cooperate with the review. While the report concludes that the agency suffers from, quote, long-standing systemic weaknesses, unquote, with records that go well beyond the tenure of any one Secretary of State, it specifically dings Clinton for her exclusive use of private email. Quote, therefore, Secretary Clinton should have preserved any federal records she created and received on her personal account by printing and filing those records with the related files in the office of the secretary. At a minimum, Secretary Clinton should have surrendered all emails dealing with department business before leaving government service, and because she did not do so, she did not comply with the department's policies that were implemented in accordance with the Federal Records Act. Unquote. Clinton, Cheryl Mills, Jake Sullivan, and Huma Abedin all not cooperating. Jim, she keeps telling us this was allowed. Apparently not.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the announcement today, Greg, that the State Department Inspector General is now part of the vast right-wing conspiracy. We all know those rabid anti-Hillary crazy right-wingers working in the State Department, and particularly in the Inspector General's office. There's kind of a follow-on to this story here, Greg, worth noting. According to this report from the Inspector General, in November 2010, Secretary Clinton and her Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations discussed the fact that Secretary Clinton's emails to department employees were not being received, the report said. The Deputy Chief of Staff emailed the Secretary that, quote, we should talk about putting you on state email or releasing your email address to the department so you're not going to spam, meaning apparently Hillary is like, theoretically, maybe Hillary said, hey, let's check on Benghazi security, and that went straight to spam so nobody acted on it or something like that.
Sure.
Hillary's response was, quote, let's get separate address or device, but I don't want any risk of the personal being accessible, unquote. Now, I'm like, oh, she just wants her personal email protected. She just wants her privacy. That's not unreasonable. Except when you're using one account for everything. This means, you know, if you're doing it for business work, then you are covered by the Official Records Act. You cannot, you know, once you're doing this stuff on behalf of the American people, communications between federal offices and federal officials are part of the public record. Unless there's national security information in there, the public has a right to access this. Here she is saying, no, I don't want to use state email. I don't want to be covered by this. I don't want my personal stuff being accessible. And she defined everything as personal. I mean, basically, from the moment she took office in January or February of 2009, everything she said should have been accessible from day one through a FOIA request. And it wasn't. And so, you know, unsurprising, I think this is playing straight into the crooked Hillary accusations coming from Donald Trump. You know, she already has very high disapproval numbers, very high distrustworthy numbers. This probably also makes it a little bit tougher for the FBI to say, yeah, no harm, no foul here.
All good news. And we'll just see what the timing is from the FBI on this and whether Loretta Lynch actually bothers to deal with it. On to the bad martini now. And this has happened before, but it happened in pretty excessive fashion again last night at a Donald Trump rally, this time in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The AP story reads, in one of the presidential campaign year's more grisly spectacles, protesters in New Mexico opposing Donald Trump's candidacy through burning T-shirts, plastic bottles, and other items at police officers, injuring several, and toppled trash cans and barricades. Police responded by firing pepper spray and smoke grenades into the crowd outside the Albuquerque Convention Center. During the rally, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee was interrupted repeatedly by protesters who shouted, held up banners, and resisted removal by security officers. The banners included the messages, Trump is fascist and we've heard enough. Trump lashed back at protesters, tweeting today, the protesters in New Mexico were thugs who were flying the Mexican flag. The rally inside was big and beautiful, but outside, criminals. lot of people arrested during the rally for disrupting it, and Trump responded with his usual bravado of go home to mommy, how old is this kid, he's here because he can't get a date, still wearing diapers and all this kind of stuff. So obviously the media likes to say, oh my goodness, more violence at a Trump rally. But Jim, as we've established on a couple of other occasions, whatever you think of Trump, his people aren't actually inciting these incidents. The media's got to get this right. And while Bernie Sanders might have this disheveled, clumsy, lovable socialist vibe to him, when socialists feel like they're empowered, things get ugly.
Yeah. I think my favorite photo that I think illuminates so much about this protest, Greg, I put it up on social media. It's got some bad words in it. There's one guy holding up a sign that says, F-word Trump, free El Chapo. which I hadn't realized there was a large number of activists who believe El Chapo should not be jailed. The gentleman is wearing a T-shirt that says straight out of Sinaloa, which is one of the states of Mexico. It's on the west coast there. Some people have noted it's also a Sinaloa cartel. I assume, you know, we'll have to figure, we'll never know whether this person's referring to the cartel or to the region. But right next to him, there's this poor little girl holding a sign that says, I am not a rapist or drug dealer. So if you're selling up signs saying, I am not a drug dealer, and the guy next to you is saying, free El Chapo, I think that kind of contradicts the messaging there. Two, let's say between this and the flying of the Mexican flags. Look, if you think Donald Trump is un-American, crazy thought here, try waving the American flag. Because waving the Mexican flag, you know, plays into exactly into Trump's narrative. The people are coming here who have no interest in being Americans. They're not good people. They're not good citizens. They don't want to be Americans. They just want to continue to get jobs, but can keep their identity as Mexicans. And I think it just kind of plays directly into his criticisms. I think it undermines all of his critics. And, you know, I think people look at this. It's, you know, as whatever you think of Trump, it's really difficult to, oh, these violent protesters who are attacking police are on the right side here. No, they're not. Whatever you think of Trump, he's got every right to give a speech, and his fans have every right to go there. You want to protest, fine, but the moment you start throwing rocks at the heads of cops and flaming T-shirts and things like that, well, now you're destroying public property. So it's just an ugly sight there in Albuquerque. And, you know, it's fascinating. No matter what happens, the angry lefty protesters never seem to learn from this and realize they alienate people with tactics like this.
It actually helps Trump in a couple of ways. Number one, it makes his opponents look like they're radicals, which they are in this situation. And he's the kind of the adult in the room, the law and order candidate potentially. But it also overshadows one of the dumber things he's done in this campaign, which is go to Albuquerque and trash Susana Martinez, claiming that she's responsible for more people being on government assistance when she's actually done a really good job of tightening the budget, fighting for welfare reform, and actually being opposed to refugees coming in. And for a border state governor, that's a fairly bold stand. So guessing she's not on the short list, but when you're looking to find a way to draw in more Latino voters, as he claims he wants to do, trashing Susana Martinez is probably the wrong way to do it.
Yeah. For anybody who thinks, oh, we're going to get a more moderate Trump who's going to unify the party, bad. Very bad, as he would say. Sad, even, you might say.
Yes, with an exclamation point. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And this story is actually from a little over a month ago, but we're using a host prerogative here because it involves Jim's favorite football team. A few days before the New York primary, in fact, maybe just a couple days before the New York primary, Donald Trump was up in Buffalo at a rally, and he was introduced there by Bills coach Rex Ryan. And Ryan, of course, is the former head coach of the New York Jets, which is Jim's favorite football team. And Ryan gave a rousing introduction. Trump comes out, and then Trump offers this head scratcher.
And I want to thank Rex and Michelle. Amazing. You know, he won championships in New York, AFC, I think twice, and always had these teams that were brutal. They were just good, great defense, and I've been watching, and I'll tell you, you're going to have a very, very good season this year. You watch.
And he's referring to the Bills there. Jim, unfortunately for you, there were no AFC championships for the Jets, but some seasons were, in fact, brutal.
Yeah. I was going to say, my first thought when I saw this quote, and somehow I missed it a month ago, Greg, is that apparently Trump, you know, by saying the Jets won championships, he really is reaching out to me. He really is trying to win me over. So thank you for that, Mr. Trump. But no, Rex Ryan got them to the championship game twice, his first 2 years, and then it was a long, slow, steady, painful descent after that. I still burst into tears when everyone uses the term butt fumble. But the other thing is it's very interesting that, you know, Rex Ryan felt comfortable coming out endorsing Trump and appearing in a Trump rally and all that. I kind of see – I don't know about you, Greg. I see a common vibe between Rex and Donald Trump.
Really?
The brashness, the attitude, the utter confidence regardless of the actual circumstances. I suppose you could say that Trump is more offensive than Ryan. The Trump persona, both of them have probably, let's say, middling results, and they walk around as if they've won something. But this is a really good omen if they root for Trump, if they are the kind of the same personality. Do you know how this means the race is going to end, Greg?
How's that?
Well, what's going to happen is that Trump will have a terrible deficit and basically be out of the race by the end of the campaign season. But then right at the first week of November – boy, nobody gets a team up for a meaningless last game of the season like the way Rex Ryan does. Man, they've been eliminated, but they win that last game of the season. The team dumps Gatorade on them. Doesn't matter, they're 4-12. He won that last game of the season. Everybody ends on a high note. So if that's the case, look for a fantastic last week and a really awful rest of the fall from the Rex Ryan-esque Donald Trump Republicans.
Oh, that is fantastic. Yeah, there could be a problem if he thinks getting to the finals is the same as winning.
Bills fans are used to that, aren't they?
They just like to get there. They haven't been there since the last century. So I think the last time, I think the last playoff game they were in was the Music City Miracle.
Thank you all for listeners in Buffalo. I understand you'll never be listening again. Thanks for joining us.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.